listeners, and thank you for tuning in to the R.G. Hardy broadcast today as we declare to all, souls are crying, men are dying, but together we can and indeed are compelled to win the lost. I believe you will be greatly blessed and spiritually informed by today's message, Six Pillars of Man's Creation, which the Lord gave to me recently in a time of inspirational study. The six pillars are equality, dominion, fertility, monogamy, heterosexuality, and occupation. Now, you don't want to miss one, so I'll be back to tell you how you can order our message, Six Pillars of Man's Creation.
And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would name them. We just read that God formed man out of the dust of the ground, did he not? And now we see that he also formed what? Every beast of the field and even the birds. God made the birds out of the ground. Did you know that? He made every beast and every bird out of the ground just like he did man. But there is something you cannot see in the English that I just love and I hope you get it. You have to see this. See the same word formed? 2:7, God formed man. 2:19, God formed the beast and all the birds. It looks like the same word. Doesn't it look the same in your Bible? Is it spelled F-O-R-M-E-D? Okay, let me tell you what it is in the Hebrew. You want to know? In the Hebrew, it's the word yatsar. And it's spelled Y-A-T-S-A-R. Yatsar. And it means to mold, even to squeeze like a potter. That's how God made us, like a potter would make something. And this is what God used to create our outer man. The pareth is what gave us our inner man. The outer man came from the dirt and God squeezing and molding us, okay? And he breathed into him a part of himself, and we became a living soul. But in verse 19, the word formed is not spelled Y-A-T-S-A-R. It's spelled Y-Y-A-T-S-A-R. They doubled the consonant Y. And let me tell you something. There's no grammatical, no linguistic reason for them to do that. There's no grammatical rule that we could say, this is why we spelled it this way. We put an extra Y on it. It would be taking like Yvonne taking her name and instead of spelling a Y-V-O-N, and she spelled a Y-Y-V-O-N. What'd you do that for? I don't know. I just like two Ys. The Y, so why is, why the Y? Why the Y-Y? Amen? I'll tell you why. Because the letter Y, all by itself in Hebrew, is a shortcut, abbreviated way of saying Jehovah. Now let me give you a little bit of background so you'll know. We spell Jehovah. We know that means the eternal God who was and is and ever shall be. In English, we spell it J-E-H-O-V-A-H. But in the Hebrew, it's spelled Y-E-H-O-V-A-H. We take their Y, we make it a J. You see that even with Spanish and English. We do this. We switch it back and forth. And so in Hebrew, it would be spelled Y-E-H-O-V-A-H instead of Jehovah, Yahovah, okay? But you know, sometimes you want to abbreviate something. You don't want to write the whole thing out. You know, if you see a color wheel on your printer, you see a color wheel and you know in order to get a full color picture, they make it out of four colors, don't they? Don't they? Cyan, which is blue, and red, and green. And what's the other one? I'm sorry, I misquoted one. What is it? It's okay. And what is one of the one that, which one did I leave out? Yellow. Isn't one of them yellow? Yes. Have you ever seen the color wheel? And it'll have the C for cyan, it'll have the M for magenta, it'll have the G for green, and it'll have Y. When you see the Y, do you understand that it means yellow? You understand it means yellow, right? But it would be like taking the word yellow and spelling it Y-Y-E-L-L-O-W, putting that extra Y on there. Why would you do that? Okay, some of you have, I thought maybe some of you would run ahead of me and get it, but I'm looking on faces and I just don't see it. Why would God spell when he made man with a double Y and not when he made the animals? Because Y stands for God. Y stands for Jehovah. And when God formed man, he put part of himself in it. And this is his handiwork. He's signing it. He's putting his signature on us that he made us in his image, in his likeness. And he breathed a part of himself into us. And he said, when you're talking about man, don't spell it with one Y. Spell it with two Y's. And after he made Adam like that, he said, we're still in chapter 2 of verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground we just read, the Lord formed God every beast of the field, every fowl of the air. Let's go on to verse 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, all the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. I'm not going to say much here because I need more time for later things. But this word made is different than the way God created man. It means like an intricate work of art. Special attention to detail. God made women even in a more special, unique way than when he formed the man. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. I want you to remember that. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be,
one.
Say it louder.
One.
Say it like you mean it.
One.
All right. They shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife. They were not ashamed because they didn't have any sin in their lives. All right, let's look at this. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. Let me tell you guys, a wife is a good thing. You thought so when you got married. You thought you were getting something good when you got married. What's changed? Don't answer that question. Proverbs 18:22 says, whosoever findeth a wife finds a good thing, and not only that, obtains favor of the Lord. Obtains favor of the Lord. There's a special favor upon husbands. God has a special favor upon husbands that do what we're about to find out according to God's design, and finds favor of the Lord. So that means that if, could that possibly mean then that if that family is ripped apart and divided, that favor gets lifted? If there's all kinds of trouble and confusion and division and disruption and trouble in the home, you think the favor's going to still be there? Think about it. If finding a wife is a good thing and it being a good thing brings favor, then something that upsets that can cause the favor of God to be lifted. Yeah, it's sober. I agree, it's a sobering thought. He said, I will make a helpmeet. He didn't say a helpmate, a helpmeet. That sounds really strange to us, doesn't it? Even in the English, we don't understand what they're trying to say. The best thing to do is, instead of trying to explain it in the English, you're going to get it wrong, is to go to the Hebrew. Etzer kenegdo. Etzer kenegdo. Simply means a counterpart, a complement, to be suitably matched to one another. And listen to this. It carries the connotation to be equal. To be equal. Do you hear that? Let's look at it one word at a time. Etzer. Everybody can say Etzer. Etzer means strength, help. It means you're strong to be able to help someone. And kenegdo, kenegdo. Real easy. Kenegdo. It means equal to. And when you put the two together, the literal meaning is help opposite. Help opposite. Now, one rabbi said, listen to this carefully so you catch it. If the man is worthy, then his wife will be an etzer, a help. But if the man is unworthy, she shall be a kenegdo, an opposite force against him. Yeah, it's sober, isn't it? The idea is equality. God wants there to be... Now listen, let me tell you something. Everything you hear today out of this message was, as we progress, I want you to keep this in your mind. This is God's original, perfect, ideal design. I'm just telling you what God's design is. Amen? You got to decide whether or not it's coming to pass in your life. I don't care what anybody preaches about today. We live today. And today, da-da-da-da. And da-da-da-da-da. I'm not talking about that. It has nothing to do with that. We're going back to the beginning to get God's original design. It has to do with equality. Keep your place in Genesis. We'll be back and turn all the way to 1 Peter 3:7. Now, I preached on this very verse Mother's Day, and I used it to talk to the women. Well, today I'm going to use the same verse to talk to the men. 3:7, 1 Peter 3:7, and likewise ye husbands, dwell with them, the men, them would be the wives, obviously, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Dwell. Let's look at that word first. Sunoikos. First part, S-U-N. We bring it over in the English, and we bring it over as S-Y-M, sim. We get sympathy. And we understand then by that it means something that's done together. Symphony, sounds that are played together, phono sound. So the word, the first part of it means together. But let me tell you something. Peter had more in mind than you living in the same house. It carries with it soon, S-U-N in the Greek, always carries the idea of partnership and cooperation. It means to share your life with your wife. Not just live in the same house, your separate lives, never connecting one to another. I'm asking you this morning, is your house a house or is your house a home?
Amen. Friends, I hope you are being spiritually intrigued and enlightened by our message, Six Pillars of Man's Creation. Not only that, but I pray that you are being stirred in your heart to take a stand against the tide of immorality and biblical revisionism that are undermining the very truths our nation is founded on. The Word declares, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the Scripture pointedly asks, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In this groundbreaking message, you will understand that God ordained the family to be the foundation for human stability and happiness. Even Jesus was raised in a family. But today, the so-called modern family has replaced the biblical design God intended, and Satan continues to relentlessly attack the family on many fronts. God created man on the sixth day, and the Genesis creation account defines six pillars which uphold and secure the family structure. Each of these provides a divine blessing, and the whole constitutes God's perfect plan for men and women. Equality, dominion, fertility, monogamy, heterosexuality, and occupation. Now, if you missed one of these, you can order the entire message on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry. Request offer SK161. That's offer SK161. Our mailing address is R.G. Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203, or you may go online at www.rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Again, the order number is SK161 for today's message, Six Pillars of Man's Creation, to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.